Welcome to the Revolve Podcast. My name is Mark Caffiero, and today we are bringing something a little bit different to you in terms of podcast content. So our Happy Hour segment is a fun series of podcasts where we focus on you, our Revolve users, and we do it over a cocktail and keep the mood a little bit more laid back and casual than our other segments. So I'm actually the host of this series, and I want to introduce to you one of our most top performing agents, a local agent who is aiming to reach a big 400 closed transactions by the end of this year. Treasure Davis is a real estate professional in Colorado Springs, also serving Fountain, Monument, Woodland Park, Fort Carson, and more. She's a top performer in Colorado Springs and the surrounding communities. She's most known for her expert negotiating skills through understanding the real estate market and her personable approach. She's also known throughout the military community by Military First Program, catering to those active duty and retired military members. So she's a proud volunteer realtor on Fort Carson, and she assists our military, demonstrates the deep appreciation that she has giving back to the people that give so much every day. We learned a lot about Treasure in our interview, and it was a really fun conversation. You know, if you ever wonder if there's any validity to dream boarding and daily affirmations and all of that fun, happy stuff, well, Treasure Davis doesn't reach 400 transactions by accident. So she has a lot of really great stories to tell. She runs a tight ship. If you go to her website, which is treasuredavis.com, you'll see how well-rounded her agency is. And it was a pleasure having her on board. So enjoy the podcast, and we have plenty of these coming more to you later. Thank you. Treasure, thanks for coming up. I appreciate you making the trip up here.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
So you were in Colorado Springs, and I found you because I basically am constantly on the hunt for people to come onto our show. And one of the things that I wanted to learn is who's using our Revolve platform, but who's also performing extremely well. And you came up on the top of our list, and you just happened to be down the road in Colorado Springs. So thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you very much. We need to cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
To our happy hour.
That's right. It's happy hour. So I appreciate you coming down for that. Hopefully this makes it a little bit more fun. I never have a problem with working on the job, so I'm looking.
No, this is good.
So the cocktails, actually, they're multi-purpose. So they're fun. As you pointed out, they make for a kind of a nice sound effects when you hear the ice cubes. But also helps us to kind of loosen up and sets the tone a little bit. This is not meant to be a high-pressure interview like Barbara Walters or anything. It's just...
I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
We're having happy hour. So anyway... So you have seen a lot of success in Colorado Springs, and it's apparent to me just by going to your Facebook page, there's a lot of activity there. And as a person who's constantly looking at Facebook pages of agents, I can kind of get a sense of how busy you are just by looking at your Facebook page, and you have a lot of stuff going on there. Do you manage that yourself, or do you have other people who are doing this for you?
So I have a couple of people that help with marketing, mm-hmm. and then a lot of it I do myself as well. Mm-hmm. So between the three of us, it makes it look obviously really busy. But the comments that you see are from me, because I really want to have that personal engagement. And sometimes I know things that other people wouldn't know.
Definitely. So. Well, and you've got quite a large team. I was looking at your page here. I'm going to your website here too. I like to refer to the web page as well. Is this is your full team? So you've got 8 people on your team, including yourself?
We have 8 of us that are in sales, and we have 7 admins.
Okay. Wow. So that's a really big team.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I got licensed in 2005.
Okay.
And went through the downturn market, and here we are today.
Yeah. So you survived the downturn, and now you've got this giant team. And so I obviously am going to have a lot of questions about that. I want to kind of rewind a little bit, because I know you said that you are Colorado Springs native. So you were born in Colorado Springs?
I was. I was born in downtown Colorado Springs. And shortly after I was born, then we moved. We lived in Southern California. If you've ever seen the movie Training Day, down in Echo Park. That's where I started elementary school.
Oh, okay.
So I rode a public bus to elementary school where they filmed training day, which is not a good part of LA. And then my parents decided that was no place to have a kindergartner riding the public bus. So then we moved to small town Kansas, and then I grew up in Kansas City, and then moved out to Salida once I graduated high school. So
got it.
Yes.
Wow. So you
diverse
moved to
life.
Salida after high school.
Yes.
I need to pause real quick just to make sure we're recording. Yeah, okay, cool. I'm gonna edit that out. But anyway, so I didn't want to
He's
go,
on it.
I didn't want to go any further than
now
find
he's
out,
questioning
oh, no.
you. He's adding question.
No,
you.
I'm questioning myself because now I'm out of focus. Am I in focus again? Okay, cool. All right, we're back on. So you ended up in Salida, and that's a pretty random place to end up because Salida is a small mountain town just about 2 hours west of here. It's an amazing town. I've spent time there as well. How did you end up in Salida of all places?
So when I was a senior in high school, we had always gone out there to vacation. And so my parents literally just picked up one day and said, we're moving to Salida. And I was a senior in high school. I was in nursing school at the same time. And I was like, I am not going there. I'm going to finish with my friends. I'm going to finish high school here. So thankfully, they let me do that. And then once I graduated nursing school, I just went out to see them for the summer and ended up meeting my husband at 17. And the rest is history. So, poor guy.
From LA to Salida, that's quite,
it's quite a jaunt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And then you eventually found your way back to Colorado Springs. And you tell me about when you started to make a move into real estate.
Yeah, so I worked at Buena Vista Correctional Facility. Mm. So my husband was an officer there, and then I worked in administration. And so we both worked there. He also had a landscaping company, and I had a wedding store on downtown F Street, which you're pretty familiar with.
I'm very familiar, yeah.
And we were just hustling to make a living. And as you know, Salida is very pricey to live.
Yep.
His family homesteaded Salida. So thankfully, we had a lot of great contacts. But my father-in-law was selling real estate in Colorado Springs. And every time I called him, he was at a baseball game. He was hanging out. He was living the good life.
Huh.
The piece of that he did not share was that he also wasn't paying his taxes.
Uh-oh.
So he was living outside of his means at the time. But looking back, you know, when he was like, oh, I make six figures and I live this amazing life, I was like, we're working four jobs to barely make ends meet. So then we decided that we were going to move to Colorado Springs and take the jump. So we left state jobs with pensions, owning two businesses. We sold all of that off. We kept our house in Salida, which was a really good move.
You still have it?
Yes. We just remodeled the whole thing.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's on his family's land, which is really great because it means something.
Yeah.
And so we left literally all of that behind. That was in 2005, where they would give you stated income loans with no verification of employment or money. So
perfect.
Yeah. Sounds like a dream. So we made the jump to Colorado Springs, bought a house, had no sphere, because even though I was born here, I didn't have a sphere of people. And we just took the jump, leaving four of those jobs behind and moving into real estate. And then a month after we had moved to Colorado Springs, I had a two-year-old. My husband wasn't working. And my father-in-law, he was also doing multi-level marketing, and he hit it big. So then he decided that he wasn't going to do real estate anymore and just closed up one day and left. So
so he hit it big in multi-level marketing.
He did. He was at the ground level of a startup company and just hit it. He just got lucky and got some people in his downline that just took off. So good for him that he made success for sure, but left without him having a database or having systems or processes in place like Revolve. Mm-hmm. That so when he left, he literally took all that knowledge in his head.
Mm.
So it was quite a shock to go, oh, good. Now we have two houses. My husband's not working. I have a two-year-old. And we've given up everything. And you can't just go back to your state job. You have to like reapply and all of that. And the prison, much to people's thinking it's a pretty dangerous job.
Yeah.
So we didn't know that we really wanted to go back to that, even though it was a great career. So it was a really challenging time for that first year that we decided to make a jump because we didn't have that sphere.
So both you and your husband, you both pursued the real estate together?
No, he was with our 2-year-old.
Okay. So you decided
he's a stay-at-home dad.
You're going to be the bread maker.
Yes.
And he's going to be the stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
That's great.
Which is now very trendy. But in 2005, it was not very trendy.
Right. Well, tell me a little bit about your first year. Some of the successes and failures, some of the big lessons that you learned. Because we're talking about how many years since you started?
Gosh, 13.
13. Yeah, 13 years. But you know, a lot of people go 13 years and they don't really grow that much, and you've really grown a lot, and you've built this giant team. So I'm always curious, what was that first year like for you?
You know, it was a really big struggle. And so what I did was I learned a lot of very valuable lessons along the way. One of them was one of the very first times I was showing houses, very first times. And they don't teach you any of this when you're in real estate school. They basically teach you that you're probably going to get sued somewhere along the way. And so I was showing a house and they were like, "We like this house, but we're just really not sure if this is the house for us." And I was like, "No problem. I can show you some other homes that will match what you're looking for." Never say that when the seller is home.
Oh, no.
Because they don't like that. Of course, we were able to save it. They actually ended up buying that house. So it all worked out. But that was a very good first lesson of, I wouldn't like someone to do that to me if I was selling my house. So why would I do that to somebody else?
Right.
And I knew that. But at the time, I was just like, yeah, I'll show you something else. So I was very fortunate that I went into the March of Dimes to volunteer for them. I've always been really involved in community and charities and giving back. We were talking about that, about doing FIBARC and Salida and all of that. And so I went to the March of Dimes to volunteer. And on the spot, she was like, "I would love for you to be the Southern Colorado Community Director for us." And I was like, "Well, I just came in to volunteer." And so I ended up taking that position because it was flex hours. It was 20 hours a week. And I could meet a lot of people in the community and give back. And so that was a really great, I did that for the first year and I met a lot of people through doing that. One of them is Angela, who's sitting next to me. I met her at that time, her family. And so it was a really great way to kind of get my feet wet and kind of get a feel, but I didn't work for the March of Dimes for the business. That was always secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, it'll be some income coming in, but I'm really giving back to a cause that I love. And I'll get to meet a lot of people, and down the road that will lead to something else.
Well, that makes a great point, because so much of your business, I'm sure, especially in the beginning, and for agents everywhere in the beginning, networking is so important. And unless you really get out there and put yourself out there and meet a lot of people, it's going to be probably a struggle. And it could just be as simple as joining a gym somewhere, like a CrossFit gym or something, or, you know, being involved with your church or any kind of organization that you can, mm-hmm. and getting to meet a lot of people. But you kind of, you know, it sounds like you had the perfect opportunity to meet a ton of people in the very beginning.
Yes. And I think the thing that I really love for, you know, agents to know is I didn't do any nonprofit things for the business. That was always secondary. Like, my heart was always in the right place. And I think that that's something that's really important, is because if your heart is not in the right place, people know that.
Mm.
And then, you know, they don't respect it, or they know you're there with, as we call in the business, commission breath.
Yes.
And nobody wants to work with you.
No.
So when you're there for the right reason, people know it and respect it. And then the business just follows. And if it's one deal, great. And if it's 20, great. You know, but you're not there for that.
And I know that today it's apparent that you really enjoy supporting the military.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
So I have 3 brother-in-laws that are active duty. And when I was new into real estate, I had a really fantastic mentor who was like, pick a niche that means something to you. And at first I was like, that's ridiculous. It's Colorado Springs. I can sell this whole city. I can get anywhere I need to get in 30 minutes. But that wasn't what he meant by that. And it wasn't until years later that I reflected on that, that I really understood what he meant. And so I was showing houses, and every time I helped like a am I flailing my arms too much? Okay. Sorry, this is happy hour, right? You said this is laid back.
There's no flailing. I know. I'm like, during happy hour.
I'm very animated over here. I forgot what I was saying now because I was so distracted by him smiling every time I waved my arm around.
Well, you're talking about pursuing a niche.
Yes. So I would be showing clients houses, and every time that they were moving to Colorado Springs as a duty station or relocating here, and I was doing what was right by them, it gave me this internal like fire in my belly that I couldn't explain. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I loved my other clients, but there was just something special about those first time military clients that I took really, really seriously and I loved. And this was in 2006, 2007, 2008, when we didn't really know at the time, but the market was dumping. Hmm. And I look back on that now because I write down like dream boards, and this was an old dream board that I looked at, but none of my clients from that time did bankruptcy or foreclosure from the investments that I put them into. And that's something that I'm really proud of because I took the time to listen to them and made sure that they were buying smart, not just shoving them into anything that we could get our hands onto. And in that process created some amazing raving fans that I respected them as much as they respected me.
Mm, that's great. And Colorado Springs, if you've got a personal interest in the military, that's obviously an excellent place to be. You've got Fort Carson, you've got the Air Force Academy, and so many others. So,
and a lot of people think, again, that they can just work with the military because we have 5 military installations and get all that business. But if you do wrong by one of them, word gets out. It is a very small town. And that's just not the reputation that I've ever wanted. And I take it very seriously. I like to joke around and have happy hour. But when it comes time for investments, I need to make sure that my clients are taken care of. It's an investment.
And they surely appreciate that. And the good word goes around just as much as the bad.
So absolutely.
That's a great point. And also to your point about, you know, word getting around in the military, my father was the deputy commandant of cadets for the Air Force Academy. And I went to Air Academy High School, and I could not speed without him knowing immediately coming home from school that I was, you know, driving too fast.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll just get around pretty quickly.
It's a small town.
Well, you mentioned dream boards, and that's actually something that I wanted to talk to you about. Is I can tell just by some of the stalking that I've done on your Facebook page.
But that's healthy.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Healthy. You seem very goal oriented, though.
Yes.
And that's something that I noticed and that I kind of picked up on. Can you tell me a little bit about goal setting, dream boarding, and how maybe this might have played into your success going from that first year that we've talked about to now where you've got a team of, you know, 5 or 6 other salespeople and an additional staff? How did that play? It had to have played into that some way, right?
For sure. So looking back, because as Angela can attest to, I save everything. I'm a little bit of a hoarder with my papers because I'm like, I need to remember this time. So I have my like very first business plan that I like scratched on a piece of paper. And it basically just came down to how many houses do I want to sell and how many, like how much money do I want that to equate to? And that was like, I look back at it now and I'm like, 24 houses, what the heck, you know? But at that time, that was a huge dream and a huge goal that I had. And then, so I kept all of those, and I like to look back at that because I'm like, look where I've come, because I think so much of this industry is about noise. Yes. And I think anytime you can slow the noise down for a second and just be true to yourself, like you hear for lack of a better words, like you hear your heart song and then you hear like what's true to you. So I've always done vision boards of like where I want to be for the year and then gut checking them of like, okay, this is where I'm at for this year. What do I need to accomplish? The only thing left for this year is a girls' trip. Other than that, I'm on track for everything else.
that's amazing.
But it's hard to find time to travel.
Yeah.
And then I found I literally like tore a piece of paper and wrote down like my dream. So I'm coached by Tom Ferry. And so he does these like visualizations where you like close your eyes and you're like, it's 5 years from now. Where do you see yourself? Where's your family? How much money do you have in the bank? Like, what's your life about? And then he goes into, okay, what's your business like? So it's not just about the transactions you close. It's also about the life you create, which I love and is super powerful. But I was looking at that the other day because we just moved into a new space. And I was looking at that and it said, I'm going to own my own commercial space. Hmm. And we just closed on that the beginning of this year. And so, well, I guess, yeah, November of last year. We closed on that, remodeled it, moved in January or February of this year. And so that's really powerful because when I wrote that, that was just a dream. There was nothing of that in sight for us.
That's amazing. And I really feel like our intuition plays a bigger role than often we give it credit for. So I almost feel that when you had written out this goal to, you know, buy a commercial space, it wasn't anything that maybe you even understood at the moment, but it was almost like your intuition is, you know, almost forecasting in a way.
Absolutely.
And I'm friends with a guy, he was my big brother growing up through the YMCA, Big Brothers Big Sisters program. His name is Michael Bash, and he is one of the founding officers of FedEx. And I didn't really understand what that meant as a kid, but he was very visionary to that regard. And to this day, he lives in Florida now. He talks about intuition, and that was a big part of what he believed brought him to success, is this intuition, which is a part of your mind that's almost like a gut feeling that you can't quite explain or understand until later. And it sounds like that might be a good example of that.
Absolutely. One of my sales partners, her name's Taryn, and she's always like, always trust Treasure's gut because it's never led us wrong yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of scary when she says that because I'm like, I'm taking us down some, here we are, we're going to go do this, you know?
You know, the other thing that I love about dream boards, and I don't actually have a dream board, but I do like to write out my goals. But what I appreciate about that kind of thing is that, yes, there are apps and there are, you know, we can type up our goals on computers, but there's an intimate connection between ourselves and our goals when we write them down and we, you know, literally put pen to paper. And I think that's the neat thing about dream boarding is you're cutting out pictures, you're writing on, you know, and that is a true special moment that you have with yourself at that time. So yeah.
We do that at our retreat every year. We sit down as a group and do it together. Mm-hmm. And then we have everybody share why they put that on their board. So then as a leader, I know what to encourage them to do throughout the year and check in with them to make sure that they're on track for their goals and dreams as well. But that even starts down with a business plan. Mm. You know, if you don't put it in writing, how do you know what you want to achieve and check in with that every quarter? Same with your vision plan. And we take it a step further and we have what's called a success binder where we write down our wins that we had, what our affirmations are, what we want to accomplish today, and what we're grateful for. And we do that every day as a sales team. At 8:45, we all stand together and we share where we're at. And it's a powerful moment.
Yes, that's incredible. And the topic of affirmations, reminding yourself of what your purpose is, I think is something that I have always kind of laughed at in the past. And then now I'm starting to understand that, you know, reminding yourself why you're here, what your goals are, what your purpose is, what your mission is. If you do that every day, you stay focused. And when you stay focused, things just start to happen.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Great,
yeah. We have an affirmation on our team that we've been saying a lot and it's kind of stuck with us is do it with an open heart. Because a lot of times in this business, again, there's so much noise. There's realtors that are unhappy. They don't want to work with a team. They don't understand the team concept. they want to talk to me, even though they don't really want to talk to me. They'd rather talk to my admin team because they're going to get them what they need way faster than I'm going to be able to. But it's also sometimes clients and just understanding where they're coming from and, you know, really being walking alongside of them. So whenever we're having a hard time, we always say to each other, is your heart open? And then that's just our way of like taking a step back and going, okay, I just need a minute and then I'll be able to take it ahead. You know, like when you lose a client or when a transaction falls out and your clients are packed up and you know it's devastating for them and you feel it right along with them, like it's okay to be there in the moment, but then you have to get back up while they're having a hard time and get that house back sold and get everything moving again. So you can't sit there and wallow in that. You have to keep moving forward. So
yeah,
that's something that really speaks to our team is, do you have an open heart? So...
Well, one thing that I definitely understand just from trying to get a hold of you to get onto this podcast is that your business has become a well-oiled machine, because when I called in to see if I can get in touch with you, I can tell that your business is the type that you don't let anything fall through the cracks, because I was treated as a prospect essentially and naturally, as I should. And I started, you know, getting some emails from you all, even a text message, and I think even a phone call. And I think that's really amazing. And I feel like maybe a lot of your growth has to do with the fact that you've created this solid system where nothing gets left through the cracks. Can you talk a little bit about how you've built your company to be so well-rounded?
Would you like to buy a house?
Yes, please.
Great. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
We can start looking as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
I think that it just started off with hiring people that are smarter and better than me. And that has been really powerful for me. Like, just sitting around and watching things has just been so amazing. And hearing the kudos that the team gets is just, that's what it's all about. And my team really grew organically. The whole thing has been very organic, just adding one person after the next and never looking to be a huge team. It's just happened organically over the years. And so that's something that I think is really powerful, is just, we literally take it one client at a time, one house at a time. Even though this year we're on track for 400 transactions, we're about to hit 300 this month. It's always been about one at a time. It's never the run of the mill, like we're just going to shove you through as quick as we can. And we're always circling back with our clients. And I love when our clients call and I say, oh, hi, so-and-so. And they're like, how do you know that it's me? And I'm like, oh, I have your phone number saved, but second of all, I know exactly who you are because that means something to me.
Right.
Obviously, as you grow, you know, I don't know everybody that the sales team helps personally, but we have a lot of client events and stuff like that. And I always make sure to send them notes and congratulations. And we call after the transaction and do surveys just so that I'm keeping a check on where everything is at. And I will be the first one to tell you that my sales team is better than I am. They are phenomenal people.
And that often means that you need to put a lot of trust into them. So maybe at times when you feel like you need to get in there, you have to pull back and say, no, I hired this team for a reason and I'm going to let them do their job.
Yes. Tom Ferry has a quote that says, nose in, hands off. So keep your nose in so you know what's going on and you're not oblivious to what's going on, but keep your hands out of what's going on and what they're doing. But we don't have any B players on our team. They just don't last on our team. And we really require them to be owners of our team, not renters. They cannot have the renter mentality. They will never work on our team. We demand too much of our team to have that kind of mentality.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've created an amazing culture. So the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, because I do notice that you seem to have a life, which is really nice, especially being an agent, with a huge team and, you know, projecting 400 transactions in a year. The fact that you can go to a concert is probably amazing to some people. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the tools maybe that you use to exercise within your, you know, that allows you to have that kind of work-life balance? Or is it just a philosophy, or is it a daily routine? What is it that allows you to prioritize and get in the time for making yourself a little bit of a priority too?
I think that it's hiring someone that shares the same work philosophy that you do, and someone that takes things off of your plate. And so the first administrative assistant that I hired, I knew that when I interviewed her and we sat down to have our meeting, and she had my drink waiting for me of what I liked. And I was like, how do you know that I like Arnold Palmer? And she's like, I remember those things. And I'm like, wow. And I can remember sitting there and saying to her, I have this pile of paperwork. And when you know what to do with this pile of paperwork without me telling you, that's when you've succeeded at your job. Mm. And not only did she do that, but she's, you know, exceeded that and become literally my right hand. Like, I cannot do what I do without her. And so it's really come down to, I mean, obviously out of the 400 transactions, I'm going to do 125 of those myself. But I'm primarily on the listing side. And so some tools that we have built in is we use Slack a lot for just communication between the team so that I can just check in with the sales team and the admin team and know what it's doing. I do daily huddles with them first thing in the morning just so I can do a check-in before my day gets busy. I have an amazing management team that I just got this year that's really honed in on making decisions so that I oversee them, but I'm not the one executing them. And as far as vacations go, I literally leave my phone with the team. And the first day you shake a little bit and your eyes twitch a little bit, but then after that you settle in and then you can really be present with your family. And so I've built everything around being present with my family. And so I tell them when we, like, we went to Europe, and so I told them we're looking forward to this trip to Europe and we're going to plan out all these excursions. And when we get there, that's your time, that's your reward for me sacrificing so much for our family and you guys sacrificing so much. So this is our reward together. So anytime we plan a trip, we always make it around, this is a reward for you guys for giving so much. Or whenever, like, my daughter loves to play basketball. So when she started playing basketball and we got her a hoop, I was like, you got this hoop because you allow mommy and daddy to work so hard. So this is your reward for that taking place. So they know that whether it's a physical reward or an experience reward, that there are perks that come along with hard work.
Yeah. And that's a great lesson to teach your family, because we live in a world where, you know, ultimately you work hard and you get to play hard. So,
right.
Yeah, that's really great.
And surrounding yourself with people that you trust 100% in every aspect of your life is the only way that you'll be successful. So I know that even if something comes down the chain that's hard, I know that they're going to make the best decision possible and I can have trust in that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely, definitely a great lesson. And I totally believe in making it a priority to devote yourself to your family a little bit. And I get home and I leave my phone in the car and then I don't take it out until my kids go to bed. So I at least make sure that I have two or three solid hours every day where I'm just being present with my family and not distracted.
That's so really good. I do dinner.
Yeah, I know.
I do dinner and then I'm like, I'm out.
Well, you are incredibly busy, and that leads me to wonder what kind of goals could you possibly have right now? Because it feels like in Colorado Springs, I mean, it feels like you own Colorado Springs. And I know there's a lot of great agents out there who are doing really well. But you've built a solid team, and you are performing really well. I mean, what is next for you, and what's your plan?
Gosh, you know, there gets to be this place in coaching. I can remember, like, the first time he had us do visualization, and I was like, I don't really know what to dream because I don't even know, like, what's possible. And now I think I'm to the point where I'm like, I don't really know what to dream because I never dreamt my life to be this good with every aspect of it. And so I get rewards now from watching my team fulfill their dreams. you know, like when Angela takes her family to Walt Disney World and they get to do all the experiences that they want to, that's amazing. When one of my sales partners bought her dream home that she had on her vision board when they first moved to Colorado Springs, that's a huge reward. And so just living those experiences with them of how they're living their experiences with their family is really what it's all about. And I've always been more like I want the experience with my family. I don't want the monetary things. Yeah. So I've never been like a real big Christmas present person. Like I would rather have the experiences. Like I can still remember the best Christmas I ever had was in Honduras, and we were all splashing around in the waves on Christmas Day. Mm. And it was like a humid rain, like just a sprinkle coming down. And I can remember like dancing in the water with my little girl. And I'm like, this is what life is about. Yep. And so that's really what my dreams are about now, is seeing my team get to the point where they're living their best version of their lives and achieving what they want to achieve. And, I mean, obviously I have career goals. Like this year we're on track to do 400. I really want to do that because then we take a team trip. And this year we're going to Costa Rica team.
Nice.
So I really want to do that because last year we missed it by a few and it was devastating. Yeah. And so we're just really rallying around that. So next year, obviously I want to take another team trip based off the goals, but every sales team member sets their own goal. And then we build the team goal off of that. So
do you have like your ultimate goal, which is this team trip to Costa Rica? Do you have like if we don't quite reach that, we're still going to have a killer time. We're going to go to Vail or something. Sometimes I feel like that devastation can be empowering too. So, yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? I mean,
so last year we did not hit our goal, even though we ended at 360. We had an amazing year. So we did not go on a team trip. But then at the end of first quarter, we did hit our goal for first quarter. So then we all went to Vegas.
Okay.
So it wasn't the same. It was a weekend in Vegas, but it was still a good time. But we went the trip to Costa Rica because my husband rents us like a private yacht. And so we're like, for a second, we're like, we're Kardashians.
That sounds good to me, man.
Yeah, because down there it's, you know, very inexpensive to rent a boat for a day. So it's an amazing experience.
Well, traveling and vacationing is fun, but it's even more fulfilling when you're doing it because you've reached such a huge milestone. So I'm sure that you're going to reach that goal, and it's going to be an amazing trip to Costa Rica this year.
Yes. So. When you see our pictures, you'll be like, yes, they made it.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. That's cool. Well, what's really neat about this whole story that you've just told me is that, you know, you have your career goals, but it seems like you're really finding satisfaction in experiencing the goals of your team. So it's almost like your life experiences have multiplied exponentially because now you've got this team who you feel is such a close part of you, and you get to see them achieve. And it's still giving you such great fulfillment. Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just like volunteering at a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. It's almost selfish because you feel so good when you're done doing it that they're like, thank you so much. And you're like, I'm the one that's leaving feeling amazing. I helped someone. And I've been on the receiving end of that as well with some hardships that I've gone through in my life. That in the moment when you're receiving, you know, what people are doing for you, you don't really look at it that way. But when you're able to flip on the other side and say, I'm able to give back because of these challenges that I've overcame, it's a really powerful moment. Mm. So,
yeah. Well, this has been a great interview and I appreciate you being here. Absolutely. Yes. We always like to finish off because, hey, it is our podcast. So we're a Revolve. Tell us a little bit about Revolve and, you know, how you use Revolve. Has it been good for you? You can be honest too. So, how long have you been with Revolve? Do you know? A year and a half. Has it been working out all right?
Working out fantastic. The admin team loves it. Our clients love it because we can send them, like on the listing side, we can send them an email every day of a task we've actually done to sell their home. And that's been really powerful to just let people know and kind of ease that stress level of knowing that we're on it and that we are not just waiting for the MLS to sell their home. And it's been really great to make sure we're having great communication between the sales team and the admin team, and we're having that be seamless. So if they have a conversation either side, it's logged into there. So then when the phone call's picked up and they look at the notes, they know where it's been left off. So when they say, oh, did you know I had this painted? Yes, we do. I see that he's coming out on Friday at 2 o'clock. Oh yeah, I just wanted to make sure you knew. Yep, we're on it. Good. And then it gives them a sense of relief knowing that even though we're a team, like you said earlier, we're not letting a detail slip through the cracks.
Yeah. And that's really what we hope that Revolve, that's the value that Revolve provides, not only to agents and teams, but also to your clients as well. So mm-hmm. everyone's being accounted for constantly. No one's ever feeling like they're, you know, left out or lost or stuck anywhere. So that's really good to hear. I did have one last question, and yeah, the last question that I have for you is, you just looking at where you've come from, the time that you moved to the Springs from Salida with really nothing. You had a 2-year-old child and a lot of responsibility and maybe not really understanding exactly how you were going to make it to where you are today. You probably, if you were to look at your life today, back then, it would probably be hard for you to really imagine.
Sure.
What kind of advice do you give to younger agents out there who have the same kind of dream?
Some things that I really learned along the way is, first of all, always be true to yourself. A lot of times people get hung up on what other people are doing, and it's such a shame. And it really, you know, like I love the picture of Michael Phelps swimming and his competitor is looking at him and he's looking straight ahead. You know, he's focused on where he's going. And I love that photo, means so much to me, because I think a lot of times other realtors get hung up on what they're doing or what their successes are. And I've never been like that. Like I've been surrounded from the time I got into real estate by the best agents. I mean, Colorado Springs has amazing realtors, and I've been fortunate enough to learn from them and to grow from them and take advice from them. And the thing that I never did was I never looked at them and said, oh, I'm going to take what you have. I've always looked at it and said, I want what you have as well, but I don't want to take it from you. And I think that's been something that's been really powerful, because as you can imagine, going up and getting to this level of success, a lot of people want to knock you off. And I don't want anybody to ever feel that way, because I never felt that way. I want them to join alongside of me. Mm-hmm. There's enough business in Colorado Springs and really the world for everybody. As long as you do what's right by your clients, you're going to be successful. And your level of success is not someone else's level of success. And just really taking the time to be true to yourself. And I love when people also say, like, oh, I don't need to have a coach. I already know what to do. Well, of course you know what to do. It's also like saying, I need to go to the gym, but then you don't go.
Right.
It's not until you pay for a class or you have a friend that you're meeting that you don't want to stand up because they're going to chew you out, that you actually go, even on the days that you don't feel like it.
Yep.
And so getting a coach really early on, no matter who it is really important, because they hold you accountable to things that make you uncomfortable. And in that, you know, in that being uncomfortable state is where you have the most growth.
Do you ever feel like you could become a coach yourself?
I do. I have a few things that I need to get worked out on the team. Like this year, we're committed to operational excellence. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really focused on that. But I think once we have that dialed down, and I'm always innovating, my team can tell you at any moment, I will be taking something and going like, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to innovate this entire thing, just to really stay ahead of the trends and keep going where we need to go. But it's something that I love. Like, I'm extremely grateful, but I'm also obsessively like wanting to innovate and be ahead of where things are going. And when I interview other agents, I want them to be great at what they do, but I want to stand off just a little bit and do things just a little bit differently than they do.
Yeah.
So
great. Well, I really appreciate being here. Yes. Thank you so much. And it looks like traffic is not too bad yet. So we're going to get you out of here in time to hopefully beat some of the mess in getting back to Colorado Springs.
Yes. But, sounds good. So it's a beautiful view.
TreasureDavis.com is your website. And this has been really great. So yeah, thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much for your opportunity to be on your podcast.
Absolutely. Happy to have you here. So.